say either, and I say either. You say neither, I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay, this is one of those things that might get you quite upset. Depending on how much of a pedant you are, you might want to turn your radio down now, because some of the things you're about to hear might distress you.
Mischievous.
Mischievous.
Mischievous. What would you say?
There's no I there.
Mischievous.
Mischievous.
Oh, all right. Well, I suspect you're right, but I would say mischievous.
Eight.
Et.
Eight.
Et.
Eight.
Et.
If you say it in a sentence, it would be et.
Okay. I a biscuit.
I ate a biscuit.
Oh, no. I get so angry when people pronounce this one wrong. Go on, what's your one?
H.
It's H. It's H. It doesn't have an H at the beginning.
It's just still say H.
A-I-T-C-H. H.
Apparently the sound of the words says, et, mischievous, Harris, garage, schedule, and H is shifting. God, I hope we got all those right. A new project called Evolving English, One Language, Many Voices is being conducted by the British Library to find out exactly how the sounds of those words is changing. Members of the public are being asked to read the opening chapters of a Mr. Men book, Mr. Tickle, to see how words and accents are changing. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined on the phone by Professor Claire Marr Molinero, the head of modern languages at the University of Southampton. Evening, Claire.
Hello there.
I'm not even going to ask you whether you thought I got the pronunciation of those words correct.
Well, you know what my reply will be, that there isn't a correct...
What? Well, I wanted to ask you about this because, yes. I mean, an interesting idea and one that's got people quite fired up. Why are things changing so quickly nowadays?
Well, I'm sure they've always changed. Language always changes. I mean, you just have to listen to things like the BBC News or weather forecast in the 50s and listen to it now, and it's astonishing the difference. So there's nothing new in change, but it's fairly obvious that it's perhaps seems speedier now because no doubt we're all influenced by new media, hearing the television and all kinds of ways of being in touch with each other in a globalised world, influence from outside of Britain, all kinds of globalised influences, things happen more quickly. But it's not different. It's always been change. Languages changes all the time.
Your interest, I think I'm right in saying, is with the sociolinguistic side of things and how society tackles language. That being the case, do you ever think that there's a right and a wrong, or as long as one gets one's meaning understood, is that right?
The word I would use is appropriate rather than right or wrong. If it's the appropriate form, the appropriate variety for the group of people that you're talking to, then I would call that right. But you're also right in saying that obviously what particularly matters is that your communication gets across. It gets across better if it's appropriate.
It's funny how different things get under different people's skin. I was just listening to that Take That song we played just before the news. And the lyric is, there was more of them than us. And I just thought, oh, dear. It wouldn't hurt you to say there were more of them. You know, it's got exactly the same number of syllables. You can fit it in. You've got plenty of time in the recording studio. Well, how do people form these decisions about how they pronounce particular words? Take, for instance, the word et. I laboured under the misapprehension that it was pronounced eight up until I was about 13 years old and my Latin teacher beat it out of me. Had that not been the case, I think I would have continued saying I ate a biscuit.
Well, I guess that's a very good example. I mean, there are lots of different influences, and one of the very obvious influences is education. What we're taught at school is very prescriptive, and that's above all where we learn that we believe that things are right or wrong because that's what we're told they are. So education is obviously very important. Generation is very important. Your peer group, the people you mix with, who are the same age as you and are listening to the same musical things as you, listening to the same media as you and so on. Your workplace is very important as well. And I guess to some extent also, well, to an important extent also, where you live, the region you live in, your geographical surroundings are going to be important. I'm sure gender is important too. So, you know, all the usual things that influence the way we act, they're going to influence the way we talk as well.
Where does English fit on the spectrum of language with regards to this kind of relaxed attitude to, I'm going to come back to it, to right and wrong? I mean, yeah. we're a melting pot, aren't we, of lots of different languages and different cultures.
Yes, insofar as the global language is English, and therefore it is the language that is spoken by the most people across the globe.
So if you were a Spanish speaker or a French speaker, you might have much more kind of rigid rules about pronunciation?
Well, yes. There are other reasons why as well. Both the French and Spanish examples you gave, they have something called a Royal Academy. And their Royal Academy is very much a policeman of language, and it tells you what the right way and the wrong way, in inverted commas, is to say and write and pronounce things. We don't have such a thing for English. We do have dictionaries, and we do have grammar books, and obviously we have an education system that likes to tell us what's right and wrong, but we don't actually have a Royal Academy.
Do you know what we've got at the BBC?
Well,
I could not believe, when I started working for the BBC 2.5 years ago, somebody said, do you want to give the pronunciation department a call? And I was like, we've got a what? And every so often, I'll tease them. And I think most recently, I called them up to check on the pronunciation of Newfoundland. I don't know if I told you this last time round we spoke. Apparently, the country is Newfoundland, but if you're referring to the type of dog, it's a Newfoundland. There you go. You can have that for your lectures. Before I let you go, Claire, just one final question. That eighth letter of the alphabet.
The one you know I don't like.
The H.
Yes.
Surely a language is in trouble if it can't even agree amongst its population on how its letters are said.
Oh, I don't know. I think you could argue quite the opposite. What a healthy language that can have debates about the way you pronounce it.
Claire, it's lovely to speak to you as ever. Thanks so much for coming on.
Okay.
Professor Claire Marr Molinaro there, the head of modern languages at the University of Southampton.